Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's a coffee. Helps you open your eyes.
And that's a breakfast burrito. You can start from either end.
You guys always this condescending in the morning?
Pretty much.
Wake up with the new $5 Bell Breakfast Box, filled with a grande toasted breakfast burrito, hash brown, two Cinnabon Delights, and a coffee. At limited participating Taco Bell locations near you during breakfast hours only. Contact local store for prices, hours, and participation, which vary. Tax extra. Drinks excludes freezes.
At Athletico Physical Therapy, our favorite patients are the ones who just can't and won't wait because they don't have to. So get a little impatient and schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.
Hello, I'm Doug Nodgaard with Equitable Bank. If you've been dissatisfied with your current banking situation, maybe it's time to move to a bank that works to deserve your business. We have an engaged staff that offers exceptional personalized service. We also have a great digital banking platform. We have two locations at 108th and Dodge or 202nd and Pacific. So if you're looking for a superior banking relationship, give us a call at 402-827-8100. We'll answer on the first ring. Equitable Bank, we take banking personally. Member FDIC.
The best part of your summer night is listening to Royals Baseball on 1620 The Zone.
Sharp and Benning in the morning on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and the 1620 The Zone app.
All right, time to talk some ball, y'all. We welcome in Scott Chanley. Good morning. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning.
So my apologies there. We had a little technical thing. We are good to go. Hey, we were so Nebraska has added a 307-pound defensive tackle from Alabama, and we were talking a little bit about football strength and then overall strength. Is there a difference?
Oh, absolutely. I think anybody who's been around the game, whether it's I mean, you can go back to I think in high school, college, or the NFL. There's plenty of guys whose strength in the weight room doesn't always translate on the field, and vice versa. I've seen guys who aren't very strong in the weight room who go out and can take on double teams as defensive linemen or just road grade people off the line of scrimmage as a tight end or an offensive lineman. So there's I like to refer to it as functional strength. There's just some guys who can translate the strength into whatever sport they're playing a little bit better than others.
Hey, Scott, let me stay with Nebraska here just for a second because I've kind of been getting into this type of play and body types and along the D-line, because it's rare these days, I think, in college football and even less in the NFL, where you see, you know, like two extraordinarily large interior guys. It's more about being able to play at 45 degrees, and there's a difference between being good at the point of attack and being able to play in space. When you're looking at how you would play defensive line in the college game, what's prototype, what's ideal for you in terms of how your interior guys would play?
Yeah, I think right now in college football, there's coordinators who are looking at putting more speed on the field, and we've talked about it time and time again about the hybrid guys, mm-hmm. the safeties and the linebackers. Those type of guys are being populated all over the defensive field. But I think it is hard. It is rare, and I've said this before. Coach Parcells always said he will always draft a big guy over a small guy. It's hard to find big athletic guys. And because it's hard to find big athletic guys, what you're finding are more space eaters on defensive line, maybe three down, guys who can just take on double teams, hold the point of attack, really aren't making plays, but they're anchoring. They're holding the line of scrimmage for the athletes to go make the tackles. And you know, that's not my preference as a defensive player. I always enjoy playing. I played for Lovie Smith in St. Louis and Mike Zimmer in Dallas and Greg Williams in New Orleans. And we had attacking defensive linemen. We had get vertical, get in a gap, penetrate, disrupt, change the line of scrimmage, and make plays on the way to the quarterback. That is my preference. I just don't know if you find enough big guys who can do that at the college game for defense coordinators to do that, or if that's just their preference to keep doing it the way they've been doing, where those guys are really just anchors on the line of scrimmage.
What about in the Big Ten? Do you need just anchors, or you need more aggressive defensive linemen at that position if you're playing right up on the center?
Yeah, I think the Big Ten and really the SEC, those two conferences change the way the defensive linemen can play. I think in the Big 12, you can put three guys down who aren't going to make a lot of plays, but they're going to anchor just like we've been talking about. You see a lot of 3-3-5 in the Big 12 as far as the defensive scheme. But to me, the Big Ten and the SEC are more prototypical of what you see on Sundays as far as schemes and the way teams are trying to play defensive football.
If you're looking at how – well, so if I'm a lot of times with guys, it's how they line up, right? Whether you're a head-up guy, whether you're a gap guy. When you're looking at kind of the defensive line play, are you surprised now that we get into every down guys, even along the D-line? Like, remember – if you were good, that used to be one of those positions, like if you were just good at it, you were just good at it. Now it's, and I've joked with you before about guys like Jordan Davis, right? Like a three down defensive lineman, did you ever think you'd see a day where that would be a thing?
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of it's just because of how specialized the game has become. And, you know, there's a lot of skilled athletes now. It used to be where you would get your best 11, 12, 13, 14 guys, and those were the guys that were going to play defense. And now there's so many different, just like on offense, how you go five wides, then you're 10 personnel, then you're 11, you're 12, and offenses try to mismatch defenses. I think you're seeing now more defenses trying to mismatch the offenses. So some of that is trying to put guys in positions to make plays. But I'm a firm believer as a defensive lineman, If you can rush the passer and play the run, you are invaluable. And it's hard to find guys like that because, like I said, when you get along that defensive line, some guys are just really good run stoppers. Some guys are really good at just holding point, taking out a double team. Other guys are really good at winning one-on-one pass rushes. And it's up to the coach to find out what they do well and try to put them in position to succeed.
Scott Chandler joining us here on Sharp Betting in the Morning. Joe Burrow sat down for a podcast last week, and it's very – insightful into how he approaches the game, and he told some stories about what happened at LSU, and he almost got arrested for smoking a cigar. But they asked him about how many times he'd been sacked last season and what kind of a toll it said. And he went into the difference between a regular sack and a third down sack if he's trying to extend a play. And essentially what he said is sacks are an overblown stat. As a defensive guy, when you hear a quarterback say that, your response is,
he's a liar. I don't believe him one bit because sacks put those guys in a severe disadvantage. And when you're in second and 15 versus second and 7, that changes the offensive play calling dramatically. You've eliminated really the run. Now you're down to a screen and you have to drop back. And when you're in a 5-7 step drop back type game, now the defenses are going to unleash the blitzes. They're going to get exotic. So, you know, we always talked about just the statistics of how much success you have on defense if you get a sack and you get the offense behind the chains. So I know as a competitor, he probably doesn't think it's no big deal. And I don't doubt that Joe probably really believes, I don't care if it's 3rd and 30, I'm going to find a way to get a first down. But just statistically, it is a huge advantage for a defense to get an offense behind the numbers.
Scott, when you're taking a look at kind of the – you know, television and the streaming and the schedule making, how important do you think it is, whether it's the flex schedule or primetime games, on how guys go about doing their job Monday through Sunday in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, it used to be it was Sunday to Sunday. You would get a Monday night game here or there, and that was your schedule. And when I played for Dallas, I was introduced to the Thursday game because we had Thanksgiving game, and it really does get hard to get into a schedule and to get into a routine. And, you know, some guys like it because now if you play on Thursday, now you get a little mini bye and the coaches will probably give you off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So there's advantages and disadvantages, but I was always one of those guys who liked the routine of, hey, every now and then you might be a Monday night game or a Sunday night game. Then you have to have a short week and you have to find a way to get your body right for the next game. But you're right. The way you look at the schedule now, there's games scattered all over the place, different times. Certain teams are going to travel a lot more than other teams. I think I saw a stat where the Pittsburgh Steelers don't even leave their time zone, and there's other teams that are putting on like 4 times the mile. So those things matter. I mean, those things add up in the end because it just takes a toll on the body.
So how, what does it do to we talked to Noah Fant a couple of weeks ago, Scott, and he's now with the Seahawks. So he goes from Denver to the Seahawks, and they always have the most travel of anybody in the league because where they are located. How much truly does that have an effect if you're in Seattle for the road games you have to play that you're going to fly across the country or you're going to have to stay on the East Coast because you're playing back-to-back games somewhere on the East Coast? What does that do to the body?
Yeah, I think those guys, it's really what you're used to. I mean, Seattle, they know that they're used to doing that. They know what the expectation is before the scheduling comes out. They know they're going to be flying a lot. They're going to be planning, maybe leaving 2 days in advance for certain games that are on the East Coast and getting their body acclimated. You know, I was pretty fortunate as far as where I was, where I played my games, St. Louis, Dallas, New Orleans. We never had to worry about geographically flying all the way across the country and having to really acclimate, get our bodies ready for a game. Even if it was playing on the West Coast and having a time change, you could make that up. So, you know, Seattle guys, like you said, they're going to put a lot of miles on in the air. But I think at some point they probably get used to it. Just like we talked about the weekly schedule of when your games are, your body eventually becomes acclimated to that's how you do business versus having to do it maybe once or twice a year and having to do it.
If you're taking a look, if it's you, and we'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson and what comes out of sit downs. Goodness gracious. But who starts in Cleveland, do you think, in that opener for you?
You know, if you had asked me a month ago, I would have said I don't know. It's starting to look like they are going to keep Baker Mayfield until Deshaun Watson is ready. I don't know how you do that. I don't know. I would advise against doing that because as a player at that position, if you're not all in, it's hard to win games. If you're in a locker room with a guy playing that position who's not all in and you know eventually you're going to move off of, it's hard to win games. So I would advise Cleveland against doing that. I would take anything I can get for Baker and move on. And whoever you want to start at quarterback besides Baker Mayfield, I think would be the best thing until the Deshaun Watson thing gets resolved. But, you know, if the NFL comes out and says, we're going to suspend Deshaun Watson for more than half the season or for the majority of the season, you know, if you're Baker Mayfield, do you just suck it up and say, fine, I'll be the starter for the majority of the year, try to have a good season, hit free agency, and maybe revive my career a little bit. You know, this thing's gone on a lot longer than I thought it would, especially with the Baker Mayfield thing. I thought he would probably get traded over the draft weekend.
Mm. Jacoby Brissett, come on down. Scott, as always, we appreciate the insight. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks after the Memorial Day weekend.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
That's Scott Chandley. I don't know, is there anybody else in the NFL that has a wilder outcome swings than the Browns? Because if Deshaun Watson plays, you can convince me they're going to win 11. If he plays, you know, 16 to 17 games. If he's only playing 10 to 11 games, are we looking at 9-8?
I don't know. Don't tell
Jacoby
that.
Jacoby Brissett
don't,
plays
don't,
a majority.
Don't
we're
tell that
seven
to Clowney. He came back on the cheap.
Yeah, he did.
He thinks they're going to win.
I don't know.
That division's going to be a nightmare.
Just having Scott on, I think New Orleans, and granted it's NFC to AFC, better prospects than Cleveland.
They got a good roster. Just imagine if New Orleans gets good quarterback play.
You're going to line up Thomas, Landry, and Olave?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you still have that one guy with the grill, no pun intended, in the backfield.
Yep. Last hour coming up next.
Live from the Host Coffee Studio, this is...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.